As we did on the earlier service, I want to invite you to have a look at the prayer list. There's a lot of names, a lot of families, a lot of challenges. And so I want to just invite you to look at that again, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Going to go to the Lord in silent prayer to begin with. You can pick some names on that prayer list and pray for them, or maybe there's something in your life that you just want to continue to pray about. But I do want to invite us to just go to the Lord in silent prayer for a couple minutes. So let's pray together. Oh God, our Father, thank you that we can come to you in prayer. Your word instructs us to pray. Your word shows us, and we know it from our own personal experiences, how you answer prayer. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers this morning. Thank you for being so good to us, for blessing us, for taking care of us. Yes, we look at this prayer focus and we know there are many other details and circumstances of difficulty in our lives, in our communities, in our nation, but you have blessed us, O God. You have been so good to us, O Lord. Thank you for the hope of heaven through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Thank you for your Spirit, O God, who is here with us this morning. Thank you for your Word. Your Word is truth. Thank you for your church, O God, the bride of Christ. I just pray this morning for churches that are gathering everywhere, that your Spirit would lead us and your will would be done. In spite of our human frailties, I pray that your will would be done, O God, here and in churches everywhere. We do lift up to you the names on that prayer list. There are many. Lord, you know the circumstances. Some in our communities have died in the last 24 hours. Some have died in the last week, the last month, the last 2 months and beyond. Comfort those families, we pray. Some are struggling with trying to recover from surgeries. Some are struggling with chemotherapies and radiations and cancer difficulties. Father, we commit them all to you. So many situations that are unique, so many that are so difficult. I pray, Father, this morning for marriages. You know the circumstances of everyone. I pray for those of our family and friends that are struggling with addictions. Set them free, Lord, we ask and pray. I pray for our community, whether we're in church or out of church, if we haven't been born of God, if we haven't decided to follow Jesus completely, I pray that we would come to that point of total surrender to Jesus Christ. I would pray, Father, revive your church. Revive your church with the Holy Spirit of God like you have of old. Revive your church. Help us to be salt and light in our communities. Help us to be people who love and are used by you to be the hands and feet of Jesus right here every day. Thank you, Father, for protecting us the way you have through COVID-19. Yes, we know it's in our communities, Lord. You know it better than we do. And we pray for them. Pray that you would strengthen and heal. But you have watched over us, and you have blessed us, and you have taken care of us. We thank you for that. Please help us, Lord. As we continue to navigate these waters of we call pandemic, please guide us. The very young, the very old, and everyone in between, please help us to trust in you like never before. Please help us to know in our schools, in our businesses, our political leaders, and yes, us as church leaders, please help us to know how to navigate these waters that we've never navigated before. Lead us by your Spirit, Lord. Please lead us by your grace and mercy. And through this pandemic and many other difficulties, Father, I pray that above all else, we would keep turning to you, keep trusting you, keep surrendering to you, the living God and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for everyone here this morning, Father. Everyone probably has their own prayer request. I lift them up to you too. Comfort them, minister to them. Direct and redirect us, Lord, however you would have. Direct our church, direct your church. Direct us, Father, in this future of uncertainty. May you be glorified in all of us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these letters that Jesus instructed John to write in Revelation. Thank you that we still have them today. Thank you for the reminder that they are for us. As we look at it today, this morning, letter number 7, will you lead us by your Spirit? Lead my words, Father, may they be your words, and help us all to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. I pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I said this also at the earlier service, and I'll say it last night when I went to bed early because I was tired, and I went to bed earlier than normal, and Sherry was sitting where I normally sit, and my Bible was there close, and my sermon notes were in my Bible. And we had one of our granddaughters spend the night with us. That's oftentimes the case. We love our grandchildren. And one of them was there, and Sherry asked if she could read to her, and so she pulled out my sermon. I don't think that was that exciting for her. Matter of fact, I'm really, really sure it wasn't that exciting for her, because by the time she got to page 2, she was asleep. And when Sherry told me that this morning, I said, I hope that's not the case today. But if it is, if you're tired, you need to nod off, you go ahead. We'll go on without you. We're in letter number 7. Those of you that have been with us the whole time, you know that we've been looking at each of these letters that Jesus instructed John to write to the 7 churches in Revelation, chapter 2 and chapter 3. And I've been thinking about this letter, this particular letter, for some time, knowing that I would get here eventually. I love the letter for its straightforwardness, for its clarity, and I believe for its relevance to the church today. This letter, this church, is called the Lukewarm Church. And those of you that have been with us for the entire journey, you know that some of the titles that some of the churches have received are not that flattering. The compromising church, that's not that flattering. The corrupt church, that's not flattering. The church that has fallen from those heights. And today, the lukewarm church. And I was looking over my notes, my sermons from the last several years, because I have them all on file. And I see that 2 or 3 years ago, I had a couple of series. One was called Lukewarm Tendencies. Very dangerous place to be, lukewarm, I might add. And I had another little series called Lukewarm Discipleship. And so I know that I have talked about this phenomenon of being lukewarm before. But because it's in the series and because I think it's so important, because it's relevant, I believe so relevant for 21st century America and perhaps beyond, I wanted to revisit the lukewarm church again this morning. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in Revelation chapter 3. We're going to pick it up at verse 14. But I want to say, while you're turning there, or while we're pondering that just a moment, every single letter, and I've mentioned this to us as we've journeyed through here, every single letter has had this challenge from Jesus at the end of it, this encouragement, if you will, this challenge, this instruction, and he ends this letter the same as he ends all the rest. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And I would suggest that he beckons us, come with open ears, to hear what he's saying for a couple of reasons. One, because it's quite obvious these letters were written, five of the seven were written, these are letters of condemnation. These are letters of, well, there needs to be some adjustments. There need to be some changes. And so when Jesus says at the close of every one of these letters, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, it's because these churches were not living for Jesus. They're not living for Jesus the way they either once were or should be or both. And so he says, listen now, listen. And he's also telling them, respond accordingly. Kristen, will you put up that verse 19 again? We'll get to this one in a minute. But the other reason he says to these churches, this is very important for us to remember. The other reason he says to all seven of these churches, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, is because, first of all, as I said, perhaps they weren't living for Jesus the way they once were or should be, or both. The other reason is this reason, this verse right here. He's trying to remind us in 21st century America, as he was trying to remind those churches. These letters are written out of love. So oftentimes people say, well, I want to hear about more about love. I want to hear more about pat on the back and good things. And Jesus will do that when they have that coming. But when the church has, as he said to the very first church we looked at, fallen from the heights that we used to be when we loved him to a place that we didn't have him first anymore, or when a church has slipped from where they used to be to now lukewarm at best, he says this, I give you this word of chastening and rebuke because I love you. Does that make sense to us, brothers and sisters? It makes sense to me. I love you, that's why I'm giving you this direction. I'm not comfortable, I'm not happy, I'm not satisfied, God is saying, with the direction you're going, and so I write these letters to you out of love. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Repent from the direction that we're currently on, he said, and make adjustments, make corrections. That's why he says in every letter, if we've got ears to hear, then listen to what the Spirit is saying. And so I challenge us and encourage us with that statement from the last chapter, or the last verse of every letter again. Will we listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to us in 21st century America? In our congregation, in our congregations, the lukewarm church, Revelation 3:14. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea, of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen. Remember, I've mentioned to you that all seven churches, there are seven definitions of who he is, Jesus. Seven titles, if you will, seven descriptors. Here's another one. These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I would like to elaborate on that a little bit, but I'm not going to. You and your studies can find out what he's saying about himself in those titles. You can learn more about Laodicea and where it was and in some of its history and stuff. You can learn all about that. I'd encourage you to study about these churches. I want to go on. Verse 15. He says, for the seventh time to the seventh church, I know your works. As he says to us today, whether it's in this congregation or the next or the next or the church in America or the church in the world, I know what your makeup is. I know where your hearts are. I know if they're right, if they've cooled off, if you're passionate for me. I know that, he says to the church of the Laodiceans. And then he says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. And he says, I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I suspect we've read these verses before. I suspect these are verses that are very well known to Christendom and to people. And I want to drill down a little further on what Jesus is saying. And I want to ask us again, is there application for us here or the church of the 21st century or both? Jesus says to this church, I know your works. I know who you are. And I believe we glean from these two verses, Jesus is also saying, I know that you probably think all is well with your walk with Jesus. You probably think that. And then he says, I long for you. I could wish, I desire for you to be hot for the Lord Jesus Christ. On fire, if you will, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Putting him first in your life, our life, in everything we do. I desire, I could wish, he said, that you're completely surrendered to me, so much so that you actually deny yourself and follow me, just like I said, Jesus would say in the Gospels. I could wish. You were burning with desire to know me more, to follow me passionately, to love me intently. I could wish. You were like that. But he said, you're not like that. You're lukewarm, he says to that church and perhaps some of us today. Then he said, I could wish that you were cold. And some people interpret that differently. I'm going to just leave it at this by saying a cold drink is refreshing to us. It's satisfying. And we're looking forward to that cold drink, that refreshing drink, and we get lukewarm. It's not satisfying at all. You know what I'm saying, don't you? Or you're looking for that hot cup of hot chocolate, we'll say. And you're like me. You've been reading the Bible and praying for an hour, and all of a sudden the hot chocolate isn't hot at all. It's cold and it's nasty. That's what he's saying. I could wish that you're this way or this way, but you're neither. And he says to the lukewarm church, I know that you're not hot. I know that you're not cold. You are that really disgusting lukewarm. I will throw in this little tidbit about the Laodicean church because it's relevant to them. And I'm sure you've all heard it a dozen times and you understand it in your own Bible reading that this term lukewarm means a great deal to them. Because he's referring to lukewarm out of their personal experience. You see, they had these beautiful, refreshing springs of water, and they would bring that water into town via aqueducts. And by the time it left where it was in point A and got to point Z, it wasn't that fresh because it traveled a good ways in the sunshine and the heat of the time, and it went from that beautiful, refreshing, cold, satisfying spring water here to a lukewarm water here as it arrived there. And so when he said, I'm talking to you, church, about lukewarm, they knew about lukewarm. A perfect analogy for them. They knew about lukewarm. And they knew they didn't, they knew in their own mind, I don't like lukewarm. I would prefer to get it at the source and get it fresh. But it was lukewarm when it got to town. And they knew when he used this analogy, he used this description of lukewarm, this church knew about lukewarm. And as those in the church, or we even today in this church, or the church of North America or the world, are longing for a fresh, refreshing drink, only to find out when it's in your mouth it's warmish and not refreshing, what is your first natural response? Spew it out. It's not what I'm looking for. Spew it out. That's what he's talking. That's what Jesus is talking about in this church. I used the analogy of the garden hose earlier this morning also. You're working outside, you're hot, you're sweaty, you're longing for a cold drink of water. You walk up to the hose, you walk up to the hydrant, you turn it on, maybe forgetting you got 100 foot of hose there and the sun has been baking it all day, and you take a swig long before it gets to the fresh stuff. It's lukewarm. What's your first natural response? It's gagging. You know what I'm talking about. That's what Jesus is saying. I'm just asking us, friends, when Jesus said, I can't stand lukewarm, my first impulse is to regurgitate, to vomit that, to spew that. My first impulse, spit that out. He's saying, I can't stand that. That's what he's saying to people. He's not just talking about water now. He's saying that about people. His people. He's not talking to the world in these letters, friends. You knew that though, right? He's not talking to the folks out there that haven't had time for Jesus. He's talking about people said, I got time for Jesus. And now he's saying to them, you've cooled off from that desire, that passion, that longing to know me more and to follow me passionately to a lukewarm. And he said, I can't stand that. And I ask us to think this morning for a moment, friends. Do you see the significance of the letter for them that day to the Church of North America today? Do you see the significance? Do you see the application? Some 3 weeks ago, I posted to my timeline a sermon from Pastor Francis Chan. It was entitled Lukewarm and Loving It. Did some of you see that? And some of you have seen it in the past, maybe. Francis Chan has got a lot of sermons online, and I love listening to him. He's so passionate and, to me, encouraging. And as I said to the earlier service, he said it a lot better than I did, but he had a sermon entitled Lukewarm and Loving It. And I posted it because I thought, even though I knew I would get to this point in time, I thought I want people to hear from him because he's articulate and he's bright and he just says it the way it is, and I think he's right on. And so I posted it wanting people to hear from him. And I wrote down a couple of things that I thought I would just quote him. I'm not going to say anything. It's a 39-minute sermon. You can listen to it. I hope that you will. But I wrote down a couple things that I think are so relevant. The first thing I said, I wrote down, and I will reiterate to you, I quote, Pastor Francis Chan said, this is a letter. He's talking about the lukewarm church, Revelation chapter 3. He said, this is a letter to America. Now, we may not want to go there. We may not want to accept that. We may not want to address it, but I think he's dead on. This is a letter to America. And then he said this, and if you know anything about Francis Chan, you know he's a great author. He's a great pastor. He used to pastor a mega church in California in Sim Valley, and he's been around the globe, literally, in India and China. And he lives in Hong Kong now. He walked away from the megachurch, and he said this because he has experience and insight. He said this, and I quote, I look at the majority of the American church, and they don't want to be on fire for God. He's saying, we want to kind of keep God at arm's length. If I need you, I'll call on you. Kind of like a genie in a bottle. Show up if I need you or if I need something. I don't want to get too serious in my walk with Jesus. I don't want it to infringe on what I want to do. And I think he's right. I think he's absolutely right when he said, I look at the majority of the American church and they don't want to be on fire for God. I think he's right. And he ends that quote by saying, in our hearts, too oftentimes in the 21st century American church, we say, I have enough of God because I have a little bit of God. And you know what he says to that? That's crazy. That's lukewarm and loving it. Loving right where we're at with a little bit of God. I think he's right. God, Jesus, in this letter is making to me crystal clear to that church, and perhaps to, as Francis Chan said, this is a letter to America, perhaps to us today, he can't stand lukewarm Christianity, but would rather just spew that out, vomit that out of his mouth. And I know that there will be people in Francis Chan's audience and people listening here today and people that probably listened to Jesus, John's letter in Laodicea. They don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about correction, attitudinal adjustments, or behavioral adjustments. I don't want to hear it. I've got a little bit of God, I'm good to go. And for that rationale, not going to argue about it, I'm just going to say this, what the scripture says right here. Jesus is sick and tired of lukewarm churches. So sick and tired of lukewarm Christianity. He said, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And I said this earlier, I'll say it again. When he says in verse 22 of this letter, in the last verse of every letter, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He says that for two reasons. One, out of love. I want you to make some adjustments. I want you to get on fire for Jesus. I want you to surrender him completely. I want you to love him fully. I want you to follow his word. As Charles said a couple weeks ago when he preached, that word obedience. Now, we don't like that either. Jesus is saying to the church, I want you to be obedient to my teachings, to the teachings of Paul and Peter and James and John. He is saying to his church, warm up for me. Casual, laissez-faire, lukewarm, arm's-length Christianity is not what he is looking for. I'm tired of lukewarm, Jesus said. So tired, it gags me. Like the warm water when you picked up the garden home. It is disgusting. I'm tired of that, Jesus said. And he said it to that church. He's saying it to a 21st century church. Perhaps around the world, certainly in America. And I know that we'll argue that's our nature. It's mine too. Well, I am hot for God. And I would ask us to contemplate and ponder this question for a moment. Is he first in everything? Is Jesus first in everything? Is God first? Is his word first in all I do? Is he the first thing I think about in the morning? Is he the one I commit the day to? Lord, I'm yours today. Lead me. Is he the one you go to first for decisions? Every decision, large and small. I meet with a bunch of men on Sunday nights. We're just trying to grow together and love the Lord and learn some. And I asked him a question the other day about accountability. And I asked him this question. When was the last time you sought the Lord on how to spend your money? Just a little question, just for something for us to ponder. Is he really first? We can say he's first all day long, and when we never consult him and consider him, we never consult his word, then who's fooling who? If he was first in the church at Laodicea, there wouldn't have been no need for this letter. And if he was first in Jim's life, and perhaps yours too, everything in life would be about Jesus. Everything. yesterday's behavior, tomorrow's decisions, everything would be about him if we were hot for Jesus. I submit to us, if the church in North America as a whole was other than lukewarm, everything would be about him. And we would come together in a more concerted effort, if you will, to seek him, to live for him, to trust him, and allow him to lead us in everything we do. All of our decisions. Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:33. You remember what he said? Some of you remember what he said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I submit to us, if we were really seeking him first in everything, and his righteousness in everything, things would be very much different for all of us today. The reality for the masses of us that claim the name Christian, everything in our lives is not about him. It's about us. My wants, my pleasures, my comfort, my desire, my vacation, my 401k, my retirement. It's all about us. That's what he's telling the church at Laodicea. I wish you were hot. I wish you were passionate for me. I wish you were zealous for me to follow me in everything. But you're lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth, saith the Lord. If you're thinking we got a long ways to go till the end and time is running out, you're right. We'll finish it next week, but I ain't done today quite. I'm going to say this before I close and we sing a song. Because there is more to this letter. It's very, very important that we understand this, friends. It's very, very important that we are committed first to Christ. I'm not talking denominations. I'm not talking to religion. I'm talking Jesus the Christ. He is the one that said, there is no other way to God the Father but me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but through me. We must surrender to Jesus. And in the second part of this letter that we shall take up next week, we see there's this argument going on in our spirit, going on in their spirit and their flesh and their words. There's this argument going on when we're told you've got to make corrections. Our first impulse is to put up a wall. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody tells Jim to make corrections. Someone tells you to make changes in your behavior. Your first impulse is to put up resistance. Jesus knows that. That's why he said what he said in the rest of these verses. And this argument begins to happen in our spirit. Yeah, but God, I this and I that. And he addresses that in the rest of this letter, which we shall look at next week. But there's this argument that happens. It's probably happening to some of us this morning already. When we're told there could be a cooling off of your zeal for Jesus, there's this argument that begins to raise up in us, I'm just fine. You worry about yourself. Don't worry about judging me. I'm just fine. You know what I'm saying? It happens with all of us. It happened with them. We'll see that because Jesus addresses that. And let me say this before I close. There's this argument in Matthew 7:22 also. And if we want to continue to argue our way through life, I'm just fine if with God at arm's length. Yeah, I might be a little lukewarm on some days, but if we want to continue to argue away our life away that way, we will find ourselves in Matthew 7:21 and 22 when Jesus addresses it himself at the last day. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, some of you know this verse, not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. You remember that verse, don't you? That's what Jesus said. Just because you said, yeah, just because you said Lord once, or just because you prayed once, or just because you went to church a few times, he said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, to me, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He says that out of love. As he says this, gives us this letter and all seven of them out of love, because there's corrections that need to happen. There's repentance that needs to happen. You need to get right with Jesus. You need to be led by the Holy Spirit. You need to follow him with a zeal and a passion that's real, because this lukewarm stuff, it isn't going to work. And the next verse in Matthew 7:22, he says, Jesus addresses this argument all over again. We're going to stand. Some are going to stand at the judgment seat of God. And we're going to say, but yeah, but God, I cast out demons in your name. Yeah, but God, I gave a few bucks or shillings into the tithe. Yeah, but God, I did this. And the only thing he's going to say to that group is, depart from me, I never knew you. You see, we can argue our way through life that I am just fine. Or we can listen to what the Spirit of God is telling the church in the 21st century, as Jesus suggested. He gives us the choice. And so in those verses, I'll read one and then I'm going to quit because time's up. We will pick them up next week. Here's the argument. Jesus is addressing the church. In your mind, you say, I'm just right. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, have need of nothing. That feeling, I'm just fine. Jesus said, when you come to that point of arguing, I'm just fine. He comes back to us the realization and this statement, you don't even know. You don't even know. You're wretched. You're miserable. You're poor. You're blind and you're naked. You think you're just fine. And I write this letter out of love to encourage you to get right with me and stay hot for the Lord. Stay driven to pursue Jesus, to trust him as Lord, to be led by the Holy Spirit, to have that relationship with God the Father that is real through Christ. You think everything is just fine. And it could be. You in the church, that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That's the argument we find ourselves in. Too often times, I'm just fine. I'm arguing away, I'm just fine. And God reminds us, lukewarm isn't just fine. May I say it to Chloe, as Jane is getting, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen.
As we depart, oh, I find this fascinating. I pray that you will lean on every word that Pastor Jim told us today. Re-listen to it. We'll put it on the website for audio. And listen to this, because this spew you out of the mouth, it's talking about kicking you out of heaven. That should scare us, because I just find it fascinating, because the word for mouth, it's not talking about spitting like we would spit from our physical mouth. That word mouth, the Greek word actually means opening, but here's what's fascinating. John uses the noun version of that word, which means a person, a place, or a thing, right? He's talking about a place. That opening is the entrance into the kingdom of God. To think that you're so utterly disgusting that Depart from me. I don't know you. That should scare every one of us into thinking, where do I stand? We pray that you will enlighten to the love of God who welcomes you into his kingdom through his Son. Something fascinating to think that he has prepared a place for us. Let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful for your warnings, that you're serious. If you weren't serious, why would you spill the blood of your Son to redeem us? You would have found some other easier way. But Father, this cost you everything. You took the initiative. You made the plan. You sent your Son just so that we could simply look at ourselves and say, we need your Son Jesus. And all you have asked is for us to conform to the image of your Son so that we can be just like him. Help us, Holy Spirit, even if it has to sting a little, convict us and show us where we have fallen short, where we have compromised, where we have become way too inclusive or progressive to kind of blend in with this world. Help us, Father, to repent and to live for Jesus and to be the hands and feet of your Son to this world. Set us on fire, inflame our hearts, empower our souls for this world to send the good news. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.